This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and once again we'd like to welcome you to the program. Again, I trust the program will encourage and challenge you and bless you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, and you can use the email address or the postal address that's given there to contact me. You can also write me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. We would love to take prayer requests or any comments that you have on the program. And again, this program can be re-listened to there on my website, bdcministries.com. Now, this program is going to be heard on Easter Sunday, and so I've been looking at prominent people in the Bible, and of course we've mentioned that the most prominent and the most important person in the Bible is the Lord. In the Old Testament, in his pre-incarnate days, he's presented to us somewhat generically as God at times, but he became a personal God known as the ever-existing one, I Am, or Jehovah, and that's the one that we worship as the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. And of course, on Easter Sunday, most of you are going to go to church in your Easter bonnets and your new Easter clothes, and perhaps even set outside someplace, perhaps not this Sunday because it's going to be pretty cold, I think, but you might otherwise set outside and even have a sunrise service of some nature to commemorate the fact that the Lord has been raised from the dead. And I know that there are many people who would question the truth of that, but if you're going to question the truth of that, you may as well question the truth of the whole Bible. It's basically a part of the gospel, and it's a cornerstone truth associated with the gospel. Many of my friends have gone to Israel, and they have come back with pictures, and I've always enjoyed the picture of a garden fence with a sign on it that says, "He is not here, he is risen." And for some reason, it's always in English, even though it seems like it should be in Hebrew or Aramaic. But nevertheless, the statement is made, "He is not here, he is risen." We have an empty tomb with which to commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. We don't know where the Lord's body is from a physical standpoint, because we know it's been raised from the dead. And when I say we don't know where it is, I guess I'm misstating myself to some extent, because we know that in his resurrected body, whatever that means, he's now in heaven, and we've noted that he's been seen by Stephen in heaven, and we've been told he sits when he finished the sacrifice that saves, he sat down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So he went into heaven. And as a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 1, when the disciples were going with him as far as Bethany, after the 40 days that he had spent on this earth after the resurrection, he was taken up from them into heaven. An angel said, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." So while we don't have a physical body, and I don't fully understand what happened to his physical body, because it appears that he's now got a glorified body, and in that sense I don't know where the original body is. It's apparently been changed and is with the Lord, but that's a whole theological issue I don't want to get into. But what I do want to read this morning is a passage from Luke chapter 24. And this passage has to do with heartburn. Now, I have heartburn quite frequently, and they give me some medications to help with it. But the kind of heartburn that we're going to read about here in a few moments, I don't want any help with that kind of heartburn. I want it to continue to burn as I listen to what is being said by the Lord, by the resurrected Lord. And of course, as I look at this passage, it's being said to people who are completely confused about what the Lord has done. And so after the resurrection, we read in Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to start at verse 13. We're going to read, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. There are a lot of things that Jesus himself does, and this was one of them. He didn't delegate it to an angel. He didn't delegate it to a prophet. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, and that's the thing that we all need to experience and enjoy in our lives. We need to have the Lord himself, in a spiritual sense now, draw near and go with us. But it says here, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. In other words, at this point, they didn't recognize who they were with. And sometimes I believe the Lord is with us, even in our unsaved days, as he has brought about the power of the Holy Spirit and the conditions in our lives such that we will be constrained to be convicted of our sin and to come to saving faith. That's something that the Lord does in our lives. And those of us who are saved can look back over many years when, even in our unsaved days, when our eyes were restrained, when the Lord drew near and went with us, protected us, and brought us to the particular point where we were able to trust Christ as our Savior. But their eyes were restrained that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Death brings sadness, doesn't it? We've been through several funerals, even in my small circle recently. And no matter how you prepare for that separation, it brings sadness. Death is considered in 1 Corinthians 15 as the last enemy. It's the last enemy that shall be destroyed, we read there. And so with death there's sadness because death reminds us again of sin. Death reminds us that there's going to be an accounting when we meet God. There's going to be an accounting as to whether we have trusted the Lord or whether we haven't. And if we have trusted the Lord, then there's going to be another accounting as to how faithful we were after we trusted the Lord. And so it says they had this conversation, and the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? Like he didn't know, but he did know, of course. And so they said to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. In other words, they were hoping that he would overthrow the Roman government and establish an independent country in Israel once again. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Now the Lord is going to set up an earthly kingdom in a coming day. We read about that in a number of places, but the culmination of the tribulation period ends up with the Lord coming on a white horse in Revelation 19, and he destroys his enemies and sets up this kingdom that these people were looking for. And he says, indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. And remember, the Lord had told them that he would be 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth, just as Jonah had been 3 days and three nights in the great fish's belly. So beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yea, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And they'd said to these women, why seek ye the living among the dead? And so while it's hard to grasp truth when we have our minds made up, these people thought their hopes had been dashed when the Lord died at the cross. And they were coming to show respect to the Lord, but nevertheless, they didn't understand that he was alive. He is not here. He is risen. That's on the garden tomb, and or in the on the fence that that surrounds the garden tomb. And the angels said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And sometimes we are doing that same thing today, seeking for advice and confirmation of what we believe amongst people who are dead in sins and in their trespasses. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. That is, at that point, it appears to me that they still thought that the Lord had been stolen away out of that tomb, because they didn't see him. And later on, we find out that when the women who had seen him after the resurrection told the disciples in the upper room, it says they did not believe. And so then he says to these two, "O foolish ones." Now, he uses language that I don't think I would use if I were trying to convince somebody that I was their friend. But he's very honest with them. "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, wouldn't you have liked to have been at that meeting? It says later on when they were talking to each other, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us and talked with us by the way?" As he explained these things to them, it would be a ministry meeting or a teaching meeting much better than anything we've ever had. Now, what scriptures did he expound to them? Well, there's a number of scriptures that refer indirectly to his resurrection, and they refer to the resurrection of others. But the scripture that really was used in Acts chapter 2 by Peter to explain the resurrection, and which is an Old Testament scripture that is clear about the resurrection, is found in Psalm 16, verses 9 through 10, where we read David writes, King David writes, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol," King James says in hell, but it's the compartment in Sheol where the Old Testament saints went. I don't believe it was a compartment where they suffered. "My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." And so this was prophetic with regard to the Lord being raised from the dead. And of course, David did die, and his body did stay in the grave. But it wasn't true of the Lord. And folks, you can believe it, because God says it, and the empty tomb proves it. And I hope you have trusted in this one who died for sins, was buried to prove that he died, and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And this is the scripture, one of the scriptures, that it was fulfilled when the Lord was raised from the dead. Rejoice on Resurrection Sunday, what people call Easter Sunday, but I would call it a Resurrection Sunday, and be thankful for a Lord who loves us, gave himself for us, was raised again in order to prove that he had satisfied God, and who is coming again. Friend, I hope you know him as your Savior. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Thank you.